Our scripture lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus and giving them instruction. And in these beautiful chapters from that book, we hear a lot of meat. And the mood you all have me in, I got to tell you, while you're looking that up, Ephesians chapter 6, it is a good thing when the pastor can hear you all saying the Lord's Prayer over his own big mouth. That means you feel it, you live it, you mean it. Too many times I've been where that's part of a service, and that's part of our service, and it's kind of a ritual, but we do it to remind ourselves, but there are those that just sit there and, power, and I feel like I want to reach over and poke them right between the ribs, so that at an opportune moment, they get awake again. You all are fired up today, so let's get at it. Paul writing some hard words for a sermon titled, No Matter What. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read in the 5th verse, 5 through 8. Slaves, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Whether he is slave or free. May God add his blessings to these words as we seek him in this service. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would clean out our hearts. That as we glean from this message what we need to survive in our day-to-day life, that you would strengthen us through these words. These are not my words. I am happy to speak them. Strengthen us. Remind us that the time spent in these four walls is different than when we go back out that door. And that we will be closer to you. That these words, that these thoughts, that these emanations, they may lift us up some point during the week, during the month, who knows. But they still bring us back around to the absolute truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the author of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Man, I'm getting hot already. It ain't even summer yet. So let's consider for a moment the plight of my man Thomas, or as he was like to be called, Old Tommy. We're going to consider Thomas for a moment. See, he had to listen to his earthly master no matter what. Thomas was born in Cincinnati, Ohio in 1942. He is of German descent. He grew up in a Catholic way. He went to Catholic school and Catholic church, and he graduated from high school in 1960. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Old Tommy. Well, I mean, it's not too long ago, but it is kind of a little time ago. See, and then Tommy went on to enter the U.S. Naval Academy. Now, y'all know where that is, right? Right down the road here. He came in there in 1961, and he played football as a midshipman. Tommy liked football, and he was pretty good at it. And he stayed there, and he played. And he finally got his first opportunity to play in the third game of the season. And a few weeks later, he found himself again in an Army-Navy game, which President John F. Kennedy was in attendance. And you know, John Kennedy had been a former naval officer. 37 days earlier, the Cuban Missile Crisis had came to its abrupt halt. God bless you. And there he was, watching Tommy play football. In case you're wondering, Navy beat Army 34 to 14. See, during his junior year, Tommy was discovered he was colorblind. Colorblind. But they decided that he was going to be allowed to graduate, and he was commissioned directly into the supply corps. You know why? Because he didn't have to distinguish red from green in the lights on a boat. You know what the red and green lights are, right? One side's for that side and the other side. I don't. I barely know what a boat is, unless it's one of them cruise ships with a chocolate wonderful. And I'll be on one day. But he was allowed to go into and serve in the Navy. He graduated in 1965, and because he was colorblind, he could have had his assignment in the States, but he didn't. He chose and volunteered to serve duty in Vietnam. Tommy went to Vietnam colorblind, a boy that could have easily said, well, I can't see so well, I'll just stay home. No, he chose to go and serve in Vietnam. He did his tour and he stayed in the area 50 miles from Da Nang and left Vietnam in 1967. And for those of you who might remember, Da Nang was a bad place. And he survived it. He came back in September and finished out his naval career, and he played football a little bit here and there. He was a 10th round draft pick. 10th round in 1964. And he signed finally professionally after finishing his naval service as a 27-year-old rookie. Now, I may not know much, but you go into the NFL at 27 years old, you're old. You agree? 27 years old going to start in the NFL. Most people, that fella that just retired here the other week, what was his name? Who's the football people? Peyton Manning, is that his name? He's 30, right? 39. Thank you, football boy. I'll be able to retire when I'm 139. But he went in. The team that he wound up playing for, he did a good job for him. He showed up and he was in training camp, and he was with them when they won their first title in 1970. Perhaps his most famous moment came, I forgot to mention that old Tommy was a quarterback. His famous moment came in 1975. This is one of the things that he is most known for. You see, they were in a 1975 playoff against Minnesota, and there was only seconds on the clock, and they were trailing 14-10. And he reared back and launched a 50-yard bomb. Now, not too long ago, I got a chance to walk out on a football field, and I was a little bit stunned as to how small they actually are. A real football field. I was like, man, they look so much bigger on TV. What's 50 yards? So somebody said, well, here, throw this thing 50 yards. And when it sailed the whole 5 feet that I threw it, he launched a 50-yard bomb straight into the air, and it was caught by Drew Pearson. Have I told anybody anything yet? It became known as a Hail Mary pass. He's the one that developed the Hail Mary pass, because when they asked what was going on, he said when he let the thing go, he started reciting Hail Marys, and he coined the Hail Mary pass. In case you ain't figured it out yet, old Tommy was who? Dallas Cowboys quarterback Roger Staubach. How about that? Bet you all didn't know all that. Where are you going with this, Paul? Man, you're going somewhere. You're right, I am. Do you understand what this man was capable of? I grew up in the era of the Dallas Cowboys. They called him Captain America. He had a reputation for being able to take his team from behind in the fourth quarter and beat the snot out of his opponents all the time. I read some of his stats. He set career highs in 1979, passing 267 yards, or completions, 267, through pretty near 3,600 yards. He got in bad health, and he finished because he got too many concussions. 1980, Roger Staubach retired. Everybody in his room knows that name. They knew the dad. He took them to the Super Bowl twice and won twice, or five times and won twice. And he was an impressive football man. There's a guy who knows what he's doing. You put that thing in his hand, he is instantly connected. He finished his 11 NFL seasons. By the way, he signed with the Dallas Cowboys and was never anywhere else, ever. 11 years. He did 1,685 completions, 22,700 yards, and 153 touchdowns. Hey, pretty impressive, isn't it? He's in the Hall of Fame, the number one Dallas Cowboy of all times. But Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to the World Championships in 71, admitted that his position as a quarterback, he did not call his own signals. We all know who that coach was, right? Old Tom Landry. In the coat, you know, the tweed coat, tie, and the whatever kind of hat that's called. Everybody knows who that was. Matter of fact, one of my favorite commercials years later is they had old Tom Landry hawking for American Express cards. Y'all remember that commercial? He comes in a cowboy's outfit. He's got a long duster on and cowboy hat, and he's leaned up at old saloon bar there, and he's talking about the American Express card. And suddenly the gates swing open, and three Redskins walk in their football gear. And he's looking over at him, and he walks out. And when the gates swing shut, they hit all three of them and knock them down. And he goes, "American Express, keep you safe even when you're surrounded by a bunch of Redskins." I love that commercial. But Roger said that he never called any plays. As a matter of fact, quote, "This was a source of trial and frustration for him, who knew how to play the game. Coach Landry sent in every single play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could Roger change the play, and he better be right." And even though Roger thought the man was a genius, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. Roger later said, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. And once I had learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." He had to listen to his master. Here's someone who knew what he was doing. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Would he have been able to do his own thing out there? And yet the boss said, "This is what we do. No matter what." That's a hard road to hoe. No matter what. First of all, let me clear you up on something. I am dumping my thoughts out here, and that's what I basically do in sermons. That's what I do every Sunday, is unload my thoughts wherever my brain has gone. And I do this because I think most of us get into the same spot from time to time. We find ourselves questioning. We find ourselves, why? I am not a fan of being told what to do. Especially when I think the person is wrong that's telling me to do it, and I think they're being unfair. I don't handle being told what to do at all well. And many of you in this room that know me can attest to that. Go over there and pick up that 5-gallon bucket. Well, why? It's right fine where it's at by the door. I want it over here. Well, go get it yourself. I'm hard-headed like that. I don't like being told what to do. I don't handle it well. I'm driving to work the other day, and I'm asking the Lord for the words this week. And then that day at work, something takes place which I find highly unfair, and yet in my view is another attack on me, as my direction for my work life has changed dramatically and not for what I consider the better. And I am frustrated, and I am tired of this. I had a good work situation, and now in 3 months, it will be over. And I loved my job. And in case you're wondering, 2 weeks ago, I got told the job that I applied for again turned down. And I'm overqualified for it. And I know it. Turned down. I'm mad. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I don't get it. I am reasonably smart. If you ask people, they will tell you that I am reasonably smart. If you ask me, I will tell you that I am a genius. Why do you laugh at that? I work hard. I try not to act up. And the Lord has blessed me with so much. He brought me into this job 3 years ago, which was a great thing. It was a big help. And now I want to know why things are getting harder. And I'm in a bad mood because of it. And this is what was going through my mind when I heard these words. I mean, hit me like a ton of bricks. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. No matter what. That's the key point. No matter what. I don't like my work situation. I am unhappy with it. I don't like the way things are being run. And I want to march into the scenario and tell somebody what I think. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Let me read that scripture again. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he be slave or free. Now let me just explain something here. Servant in the English New Testament represents the Greek doulos, bond slave. Sometimes it means diakononos, deacon or minister. And this is strictly accurate. James Packer, writing these words from his book, Your Father Loves You, goes on to say, both these words denote a man or a woman who is not his own. He is not at his own disposal. He is his master's purchased property, bought to serve his master's needs, to be at his beck and call, and call every moment. The slave's sole business is to do as he's told. Christian service, therefore, first and foremost, means living out a slave relationship to one's Savior. How do we know that? Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, had these words to say. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God. No matter what. I think they should all finish that way. No matter what. No matter what, Paul Dutherman. You're going to listen to me no matter what. Well, okay, Daddy. James Packer goes on to write, what work does Christ set his servants to do? The way they serve them, he tells them, is by becoming the slaves of their fellow servants and be willing to do literally anything, however costly, irksome, underline that, or undignified in order to help them out. This is what love means. As he showed himself love at the Last Supper when he played the slave's part and washed the disciples' feet. Oh, why do you have to put that in there? I don't like to be told what to do. But then you put that in there. But Jesus Christ, I can almost recite it from heart. And then after they got finished eating, he got up and girded himself with a towel. And he knelt down, and what'd he do? He washed their feet. Next Sunday, that's what we're going to be doing. Why? Why did the King of Kings, why did Jesus Christ do that? To teach us we're servants to everyone. Just as he was to us. And we are to do it. No matter what. I don't like this. But I understand it. Why? 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 It is to teach me. Now, I know by now you're scratching your head going, what? Let me set you straight. No matter what we are to obey, no matter what we are to do, no matter what in that moment of struggle and trial, we are to be just like Jesus. As best we can. I told you all last Sunday, three letters help you out with people that you just can't figure out. What are them three letters? E-G-R. What do they mean?
Extra grace required.
Extra grace required. You know why he knows them? Because he looks at Daddy all the time and goes, E-G-R, Dad. You're not supposed to use that against me. You're supposed to listen to me. Pay attention to the sermon. It's very frustrating, I know. I'm stuck here lately on this theme, and I know why I'm stuck. Because guess what? In just 2 weeks, we celebrate the reason we're here. It ain't Christmas. It's Easter. It's the rising of our Savior from the grave with His victory over death that gave us the opportunity to believe in Him and give us what? Everlasting what?
Life.
Does everybody want that? Say amen.
Amen.
You want to live here forever? No. No matter how many steam engines you could own. No. Does that mean that everything's going to be perfect and rosy and wonderful from the moment you say, I'm yours, Lord. Take me. I'll be one of yours. Tell me what to do. You want me to go over here and sit in this bed of roses? I'll do the... Ow! Where'd them thorns come from? No matter what, we are destined. We are designed, we are programmed that when we take up the mantle of the Lord to follow Him, to follow His example and be understanding of our earthly masters. Why? Because it teaches us to be more like Christ. It teaches us humility. I love how James Packer puts it. No matter how irksome. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the first two verses. As Paul is writing to Timothy, starts off this way. All who are under the yoke of slavery. Let me back up. All who are under the yoke of slavery. Now I'm going to translate that real quick, real short. All of you that got a job. All of you that do something for someone. All of you that serve. You're all under the yoke of slavery. Paul writes, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. You know what Paul just said? He said no matter what, you respect your authorities. No matter what. Why? How many in this room are Christians? I've seen a lot of hands take a while to get in the air. I'm going to try that again. How many in this room are Christians? Well, that's a little more like it. I don't have any Christian symbols on my vehicles. Do we? We do? Not the one I drive.
No, not yet.
Yeah, that's right. No, not yet. You know why? Because I don't ever want nobody to know I'm a Christian when I'm driving that truck. He's got one of the things on the back, and look what he just did. He cut off that bus full of nuns. I've never done that. Thought about it once or twice. But I'm serious. No matter what, we are under this pressure to show Christ. And so when the people that are in charge of us that know you're a Christian because you've claimed it, because you're not afraid to talk about it, because you've said, I am a child of Christ. He died and bought me. They look at you differently. And when you mouth off to them, when you disrespect them, you slander the name of the Lord. No matter what. Paul Letterman, that's what you need to be thinking about. I know what you want to do. See, in my current situation, I am paid to do a job. That's what I'm paid to do. I am paid to come to work and do that job. I am not paid to tell the man what's wrong with him. I am not paid to do those kind of things. I am paid to go in and do the job that they hired me for. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of the fact that in 3 months I may be jobless, I won't be doing what I want to, but who knows what's next? Need I remind you, myself, that we are no longer ours? Jesus came here to save us, and the beauty of it is what makes me smile. No matter what, He loves me, you. No matter what, He wants me, you, with Him. No matter what, I have so much more with Him than I wouldn't have. The Hebrew writer, in the 13th chapter, first three verses, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people are entertaining angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, as you yourselves are suffering. In those first three verses, the Hebrew writer is saying, prisoners, those who are maybe locked up or locked up within themselves or locked up in sin, your job is to be that servant. Your job now that you are a slave is to be in respect and listen, no matter what. Your job is to be there ready to show the light of Christ, ready to say, look what He did for me. He can do the same thing for you. The Hebrew writer goes on in verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And when we sing a song like that, love that song. We bring a sacrifice of praise. And, all right, never mind. The fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. You know what that is? No matter what, Paul, do what I tell you to do. Act like a Christian. I'll be happy with you. Otherwise, Paul, if you start acting up again, I'm going to smite you right on the forehead. That's how I think he talks to me. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. In that verse, when he says they must give an account, it's not your job, brothers and sisters, to judge them or to be mad at them. Well, you'd be mad. But it's not your job to try to say, hey, you're going to get yours. It's your job just to do it, no matter what. No matter what. Who else did something no matter what? You know, Arabian horses, through rigorous training, they are trained up in the Middle East desert. Anybody ever seen them Arabian horses? They're white and they're pretty and they're wonderful to look at, aren't they? And them things do pretty near anything they say. They're like them Lipizzaner stallions. And boy, I could tell you, I would love to have a Lipizzaner stallion just around my house until I saw how much they were. And I don't begin to know what that was worth, but thousands of dollars. But Arabian horses are trained in the desert, and as a final test of endurance, the trainers force the horses to go without water for a couple of days in the desert. And then they turn them loose, and of course the first thing the horses do is they run toward the water. But just as they get to the edge, ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle, and them horses who have been completely trained and are nearly perfect in obedience stop. Good. Right there is the edge of the wood. What is he doing? And I'm sure they're looking at each other. And you turn around and they go back to their trainer. Then he knows. And when he is sure they are obedient, he gives them the signal to drink. That's how I feel. I've been brought right to the edge of that water. New job, higher money, and then bring him back. Why? So that I pray to God and I am obedient to Him no matter what. No matter what, we are to obey. And obedience, when it's done right, is something to see. Christian Herder, was the governor of Massachusetts, and he was running for a second term in office. And one day, after a busy morning of chasing votes and no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. Now, we all know church barbecues, right? Quarter piece of chicken. Oh, boy. Did I slobber? Man, where did my napkin at? As he moved down the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. And she put one piece on his plate and then turned to the next person in line. Excuse me, the governor said, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken? I sure am hungry. Sorry, the woman told him. I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person. But old governor looked at her and said, but I am starved. She said, I am sorry. I was told one to each person. Now, old Governor Herder was a pretty modest cat. He wasn't one to go throwing around his title, but he decided this time he was going to use that governorship. And he stopped and he straightened up and straightened up his tie. And he looked at her and he said, do you know who I am? He said, I am the governor of this state. She said, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along, mister. I'm afraid we'd have had a fight. That's obedience. That is doing your job the way it has been laid out to you to do, no matter what. That's what Christ wants from us. No matter what. He wants us to do that job. He wants us to be obedient so that when somebody looks at me, they go, Paul, hey, I know who you used to be, and I know who you say you are now. I'm watching. And I'll watch a little more, and I'll watch a little more, and then, daggum, one day I want to know what's going on with him. Come here, I'll tell you about my friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what. I think I've been smart enough to lay this out. In the 19th chapter of John, is no matter what. Later, verse 28, knowing that all was completed and that so the scripture would be fulfilled, no matter what, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, and so they soaked a sponge on it. And they put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant, and they lifted it to his lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. He died no matter what. That's who we need to be, brothers and sisters. No matter what, we need to be that Christian. Hard as it's going to be, hard as it will ever be, until that day he calls us home. Let me just leave you with this. No matter what, we are to listen, we are to do, we are to obey, we are to show what Christ really is. No matter what. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. And with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We lift you up at this time, and we ask you to teach us and help us to grow up a little bit more and to get a little bit stronger, Father. That we can be that person no matter what, that we can be that one that's lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you have poured out and given us. And we ask that you allow us to continue to be those servants, those slaves, those bond slaves, those who are chained to your side forevermore, and show the world that Christ is truly love, no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.